Are you ready? Okay. The official title for this retreat is a question. And the question is, how to orient to your experience so that it opens up and deepens? How to orient to your experience so that it opens up and deepens? You might have noticed that in the Diamond Approach we really like questions. Questions seems to help us open up more than answers. So this is a good question for yourself to really be interested in. We've pointed to a few, you could say, guidelines or directions that you could inquire into. We started as one of the ingredients that might support you answer this question is a love for truth, which we call the flame. If you're in contact with the deep longing in yourself to be true, that can fuel your search, can fuel your opening. I heard there's actually a word for it now that some people use that I thought that was helpful. So it sounds a little bit like toothache, but it is truthache. You have a truthache in your heart. And the truthache is a feeling in your heart that is there when you're not living your divine purpose. It's an ache that is there when you're not living your depth. And it's a good ache. It's a good ache to feel. And it comes with this longing to be real, longing to be yourself, longing to know who you are. And then we saw that, like Tejo talked about presence, how presence is actually the quality that supports us to be willing to open. Because of the light, because of the love, we are willing to open in an area that felt defended before. That we were, in response to our history, we all kind of started defending ourselves so that we were safe and secure. So we all have created a very functional box that we think we are. Box is a different word for ego. And we really believe that that's us. And then on top of the box, we have this guiding voice that tells us, don't get out of the box. If you get out of the box, that's wrong. Stay in the box. We call that voice, the superego. And because it's been with us since we were about 3, and it's been talking to us probably every day since we were 3, we start to think it's God's voice. It's really the truth. God talking to us. Stay in the box. But it's not God. But you got so used to that voice that you either start, it's totally in your unconscious, you're not aware even that it is a voice, or you're identified with the voice, giving you power. Some people are more identified with the superego, and it gives a sense of self, it gives a sense of power. Some people are entangled in an abusive relationship, always fighting. There's me and there's the superego, and I want to be free, and you can keep being entangled with it. And very difficult to get out of an abusive relationship. Why is it difficult to get out of an abusive relationship? You say, well, sounds like clear. If somebody hurts you, attacks you, get out of it. Forget it. But because it's been with us so long, we get attached to it. If you live long enough with somebody that is judgmental and grumpy and nagging you all day, and you keep being with that person for 50, 60 years, you still get attached. When they're suddenly not there anymore, you feel an emptiness. You start to feel alone. So then Emma did a talk on aloneness, or openness. Slip. But aloneness is, of course, one of the things that come up when you're open and you allow yourself to be without superego. It's one of the things. Why is that? Why is it that we feel alone when the superego is not there? The superego is an internalized parent. So when there is a parent, there is a child. So we either take ourselves to be the superego, or we take ourselves to be the child. But when the superego starts to relax, we're going to look at that today. What happens when the activity of the superego starts to subside? What then? What's the next step? And I think it's clear by now that why we actually work with the superego on a spiritual path. There's many spiritual paths that don't work with the superego or don't pay attention to it. Because there is an intelligence that knows that in order to know who we are, in order to be open to our essence, to be open to essential experiences are boundless. They're much bigger than our box. So if we want to experience them, we need to be courageous enough to be out of the box. Not just think out of the box. Be out of the box. You can't experience essence while in the box. Your ego structure is never going to get enlightened. Yeah, write that down. It's not about enlightening the box. It's not about getting more spiritual experience into your box. It's not about refining yourself, your old self. It's really much more scary. Get out of the box. Open up to the light. So it does take courage. It does take courage to open up your armor. So it needs quite a truth ache to say, enough of this. I've been protecting myself since I was 3, and I had enough of it. Most people die in the box. Really. In the East, they say it's really a blessing when you start having this longing to know who you really are. It's a blessing when that happens to a soul, that you have a longing to be open to being. And it's a delicate thing, this being out of the box, because you can't do it by just decision alone. It's a whole process that has many layers. It has many steps to it. But they all have to do with moving to more openness, moving to less control, moving towards more willingness to let the light in, to be naked, to not reject any experience anymore. enlightenment or realization or essential being is not just that you only feel nice things. It is a space in which every experience is welcomed. And Tejo already said, essence feels good. It does. But the experiences that come to you are tremendously rich, and they range from good to really difficult and painful. It is a space that welcomes all experiences. I remember being with one of my teachers in India, and somebody asked him, why are not more people free and enlightened? What's this setup? And he said, well, most people are not free and enlightened because they don't want to. They don't want to. You don't want to be that open and feel everything. Everybody wants to feel bliss and love and truth, but that's not the first thing you start to feel when you open. The first things that you start to feel when open are the things that you've been suppressing, that you've been keeping out of the box or in the shadow in the box. So that's why it needs a lot of courage. And it needs a longing, it needs a deep longing to say, okay, I want the truth, whatever it is, whatever I will feel, I'm here. Let's have it. Let's open the box. Maybe at first, just like, see what happens. Oh, that wasn't so bad. Huh. So, just remember another teaching story about the French Revolution. In the French Revolution, they liberated a lot of prisoners that were in the Bastille, in the dungeons. And some of them were there for decades. They've been living there for decades, and in the French Revolution, they opened up the Bastille, and they opened up the prison, and they let everybody out. Everybody suddenly was free. And then an amazing thing happened. In the evening, more than half of them were back. They couldn't deal with it. They couldn't deal with so much unknown. They couldn't deal with so much freedom. They couldn't deal with so much that was unfamiliar. So our relationship to the unknown, to the mystery, is very interesting to explore. How do I relate to what I don't know? Yeah, we're going to spend more time on that. But today we are going to have a specific focus this morning. So, Tejo yesterday introduced that exercise in which you dialogue with your superego. And again, the superego is a lifelong habit. It's not a person. It's not somebody that you have to get rid of. It is not somebody. It's not somebody that can die. It's just a habit of thinking that you've had since you were three. When you stop, it's not there anymore. It didn't die. Like the elephant I talked about yesterday. But it's a lifelong habit. It's also not true that it will kill you. But it will expose something when you get space from your superego. You start to feel, oh, can I open the box? There is not a guy with a sword outside that cuts my head off. Ha, open the box. See what happens. Okay, now, what happens when the superego is not there and you open the box? Question, what happens? Raise your hand if you have an answer. Space. Yeah. Outside of the box is much more space than inside the box. Yeah. I'd like to say things that are obvious. Yeah. Much more space outside the box than inside the box. Very little space inside the box. And also inside the box, there is a lot of feelings and content and thoughts and all that. Outside the box, there's a lot of space. Space is an essential quality. It's an attribute of essence. What else? What else happens when the box opens? There's more energy. Yes, there's more energy because to stay in the box takes a lot of energy. An ego needs a lot of energy to maintain itself. Good.
Freedom.
Freedom, yeah. There's more freedom, and more freedom comes with less control. Yeah. That's why many people don't really like it. Yeah, we want to have control and freedom. And it's not that we have control in the box. In the box, we have a sense, an illusion of control. Yeah. One more in the back. Nothing to hold on to. That's why we stay in the box. It's familiar. It's been like this. My box is about the same as it was when I was 7. I got my box. I got something to hold on to. Yeah? When you get outside of the box, you see the box is actually floating in space. You are holding on to something that's not secure at all. Okay, Reinhard.
There's fear.
Right.
Fear to not exist anymore.
Right. Because we've been that box for so long, we think we are the box. You get out of the box and you get afraid. Oh, it feels like death. It really feels like death because we are identified with the ego self, with the familiar self. Space and freedom sounds really nice, but I want to stay the same and then be free. I want to keep holding on. I want control and then be free. I remember this story. I have a mind, I don't know how it works, but I always get these stories. So I can't do anything but share them with you. Otherwise, I get stuck with them. So there was a guy who was on a hike in nature, and there were these big cliffs and paths along the cliffs, and at some point he slipped and he fell down the cliff and he could just grab a root of a tree, and he was hanging there. And he wasn't a very religious guy, but you know what happens when you're in a situation like that? Suddenly you find yourself praying. So he started praying. And he said, well, I've never been religious, but now is the time. If there is a God, now is the time to prove that you exist. And he couldn't get up. So he started praying. And you know what? From the skies come this deep, thundering voice. Yes, I am here. What is it? And the guy says, I'm falling. I'm just holding myself here. Save me. Deep voice says, I will save you. Let go. The guy is silent for a while. And then suddenly he says, is there anybody else up there? So we want to get out of the box, but we don't want to let go. We want to stay in control. Yeah. So it's really good to know that essence doesn't have anything to hold on to. It's really true. There's nothing to hold on to. But there is something else that is much, much better. It's called trust. Trust holds us And it doesn't limit our freedom like security does. Yeah. Trust holds us in a spacious way, and it's compatible with freedom. Trust is compatible with freedom, security not. If you keep holding on, you become the box, you lose your freedom, you lose your space. You can have a very wealthy box, a very miserable box, but it's a box. So our interest, our passion, is to know the full truth, even if it includes letting go, even if it means letting ourselves go out of the box and find out, because we're adventurous. We want to know, even if we lose our box, we lose our superego, we lose our abandoned child, we lose everything. But I want to know, what is the truth? When I get out of the box. So what we're going to look at today is something very practical. When you get out of the box, what do you experience? One of the things that you start to experience is uncomfortable, difficult experiences. That's why you stayed in the box, because there are certain things you don't want to feel. Maybe you have noticed already. When the superego starts to subside, in your soul, in your experience, also difficult things come up. There's also more light, there's more support, there's more connection with other people when you come out of the box. But also difficult things come up. And maybe you also noticed that the difficult things that come up are things that have already happened. Everything you're afraid of has already happened. But you haven't been able to fully feel them. So life is very compassionate. And life wants you to feel everything that you ever experienced fully. Not in a little box, but in a big space. So life keeps trying to bring you experiences that you so far have denied, pushed away, rejected, tried to therapy away. Try to understand so that you wouldn't have to feel it anymore. Years of analysis, years of therapy to get rid of it. Recognize something? Yeah. So this is a very radical path. Everything you're afraid of also. Yes, I am willing to feel what it feels to be alone. Yes, I'm willing to feel emotional pain. Yes, I'm willing to feel what it means to be rejected. Yes, I'm willing to feel fear. Radical allowing. When we say radical allowing, we mean radical allowing of every experience that life brings you. We don't mean radical allowing of all behavior. That's something else. Yeah, just to make sure that we don't get in trouble here. Radical allowing of every experience that life, yet that your life stream, that your flow of life brings to you. Because when the superego starts to subside, the function of the superego is to keep the wild child of us, that it's in us, and the animal with all the instinctual drives in check. We don't go crazy. And if you've suppressed it for a while with a fierce superego, and you open the box, the animal jumps out and say, ha, freedom. Yeah? But the freedom of our animal and our wild child is not really freedom. It's just a different kind of prison. Freedom of the senses is not really freedom. It's just a running wild. I'm actually not sure if to say this, but many people use alcohol to numb their superego. That works. If you drink enough alcohol, your superego is very little resistant to alcohol. So it numbs your superego, your animal can take over, and the next morning the superego is back. You're very ashamed of what you heard you did, because not much of your awareness was there, but it's really possible to numb the superego. That's why many people use alcohol, to get some freedom, to get a little bit freedom, and to have your inner child and your animal do what it wants. But that is not the freedom we're looking for. That can help to release some of the energy, but it creates also a lot of trouble because there's not much presence there. Yeah, it's just an animal or a child running wild, doing what it wants to do. Yeah. Nothing wrong with the child, nothing wrong with the animal, but it's not integrated in a field of presence. Presence has a natural inbuilt capacity for ethical behavior that doesn't suppress the animal, doesn't suppress the child, but integrates it. So, story. I have a story that it's actually a children's story. And it's a story written by Marjorie Williams, called The Velveteen Rabbit. And like many good children's stories, they have different dimensions of meaning. It's a meaning that is for the child, and then you can read a meaning underneath. So this is a dialogue between two toys in a children's room. One is a rabbit, a velveteen rabbit, and the other is a very old toy called a skin horse. And they're laying in the child's room, and there's also some electrical toys and toys that you can wind up, and then they move. So these two toys are laying in the children's room, and this is how it goes. The skin horse had lived longer in the child's room than any of the others. He was so old that his brown coat was bald in patches and showed the seams underneath. And most of the hairs in his tail had been pulled out to string bead necklaces. He was wise, for he had seen a long succession of mechanical toys arrive to boast and swagger, and by and by break their mainsprings and pass away. And he knew that they were only toys, and they would never turn into anything else. For toy magic is very strange and wonderful, and only those playthings that are old and wise and experienced, like the skin horse, can understand that. Here comes the rabbit. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day, when they were laying side by side in the child's room. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and a handle that can be twisted, like the mechanical toys?" "No," said the skin horse. "Real is not how you are made. It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, very long time, not just to play with you, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. "But when you are real, you don't mind being hurt." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" the rabbit asked, "or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen to people who break easily, or have sharp edges, or have to be very carefully kept. Generally, by the time you get real, most of your hair is loved off. And your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints, and you get very shabby. But these things don't matter at all. Once you become real, you can't get ugly, except to people who don't understand. "I suppose you're real," said the rabbit. And then he wished he hadn't said that, for he thought the skin horse might be sensitive. But the skin horse only smiled. "The boy's uncle has made me real," he said. "But that was a great many years ago. But once you are real, you cannot become unreal anymore. It lasts for always." The rabbit sighed. He thought it would take a long time before this magic called real would happen to him. He longed to become real. He wanted to know what it felt like to be real. And yet the idea of growing shabby and losing his eyes and whiskers was rather sad. He wished he'd become real without all these uncomfortable things happening to him. So that's what we want. We want to be real without all these uncomfortable things happening to us. We want to say, "I want that, but I don't want that." So we need an openness in the box. And when we open the box, the uncomfortable things that we have been avoiding feel like, "Hey, finally there's an opening. Let's try. Let's try if she's willing to feel me now. Let's try if he is willing to feel his early childhood abandonment." So opening the box brings forth pain, aloneness, hurt, abandonment, all the difficult things that are there. And what also happens when we open the box is that the light can get in. That's very, very important. When we open the box, the light gets in. Means essence starts to be felt. It's not that essence wasn't there, but your box was closed. Essence is always there. When you open the box, the light gets in. And true nature is not just boundless and impersonal. It also responds very personally to people that open. So my talk today is about compassion. When we open the box and we are willing to feel the difficult experiences that are present in our soul that we've tucked away in the shadows of our box, true nature responds in a very specific and personal way with the quality, the essential quality of compassion. What is compassion? Compassion is a presence that makes it possible to feel pain, hurt, and aloneness. Compassion is not a quality that takes away your pain, hurt, and aloneness. Compassion, the function of compassion is to support truth. Function of compassion is to support truth, difficult truth. Not the concept of truth, but the felt truth. So compassion doesn't free us from pain. Compassion frees us from the need to be free of pain. I'll say that again. Compassion doesn't free us of pain, but compassion frees us from the need to be free of pain. Nobody here is free of pain. Pain and suffering and difficult experiences are part of the human experience. It's part of being human. I don't know anybody that I ever met or ever worked with or ever interacted with that didn't have some pain. Everybody here has pain, difficulties, things that you tucked away that will start to surface when the light comes in. Compassion gives you this tremendous presence that says, let's be with this. Let's be with this. And as the skin horse said, that's what makes you real. It makes you real. Makes you a mensch. Makes you a mensch when you don't deny your suffering. When you don't push away, try to get rid of what is painful. Really feeling pain opens us to the depth of our heart, penetrates us much deeper than the surface. Our ego structure or our box is built around a few experiences that we try to avoid. And those experiences have already happened when we were young. When we start to open up, we start to feel them. If you have a longing for truth, if you have a truth ache, you start to understand, maybe freedom means including that. How would that be? So the work that we're doing here is not to polish your box or to add spiritual stickers to it. Or to give you more spiritual knowledge to add to your already magnificent box. There's so much knowledge in this room. So much knowledge in this room. But we're not here to add knowledge to your box. We're on an adventure. We're on an adventure to find out, who am I outside the box? And every box, every ego structure has their own expiration date. You cannot push it. It has its own way of unfolding. You don't have to push it and say, oh no, after this talk I realize I'm going to rip that box apart. Yeah, it's the same box that's saying that. The box, you keep bringing, you keep being with every experience that life brings you, and that opens the box. You can't remove it. Yeah, it's an act of love. And the love is a love for truth. And the box is a denial of some truth. It's denial of difficult experience, and it's a denial of essential experience. And so the driving force in our work is the love for truth, whatever it is. Might lose all my clothes, my hair, my defenses. Okay, let's have it. I lost track of time. Just let me finish, because otherwise I never stop. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I need to go to the exercise. Okay. You probably feel it coming. You want to look, and you need to, again, I want to remind you of confidentiality, because you understand when you start opening the box, you get to very sensitive areas that have been protected for a long time, that have been attacked by your superego for a long time. So it does need a very loving attitude that is very respectful, no pushing, no advice, no therapy, None of that, just space and presence. So what we want you to do is in go in groups of three. One of you has time to do an inquiry, a monologue. And you pick something that is personal to you, something that is difficult for you, that you know this is something difficult. It could be something that happens in a relationship. It might be something that has to do with value. It might be something that has to do with something that you've been trying to get rid of for years. Some experience that you know I've been avoiding. Yeah? Pick one that you're willing to explore. You don't have to get into your past and go to immediately the biggest trauma that you ever had. Start with something that you feel you can deal with. But something that is challenging that you know. For example, if you have a difficult relationship with somebody, often when there is difficulty in a relationship, there is something that's difficult for you to feel that person triggers in you. Yeah, that would be a good thing. For example, if I would give an example, like, okay, there somebody that I really feel that, well, he's always judging me. I feel that. He never says it, but the way he looks, I know he doesn't like me. And actually, if I'm honest, I don't like him much either. Yeah, I would be totally fine. I would never meet him again. But unfortunately, he's my boss. Yeah. So then I want to know, like, okay, what is it that I feel? Like, every time I'm around him, I feel, even if I think about him now, I feel this iron armor in front of my heart. Feel this. Okay, so now I start to feel that iron armor. Yeah. Well, it's absolutely clear. He's just a nasty guy, and he picks on everybody, and the fact that he's a boss and he makes more money, he just misuses his power, and he also likes it. Yeah, I wish he would meditate and work on himself, or maybe I leave some folders in his office or something. I just wish he'd work on himself. Yeah, so I feel I just really, it's not just my judgment. He really is an asshole. Yeah. And he's nasty and he misuses his power. And okay, so now, okay, that's good to say. I feel already a little better. Like, it's him, not me. Okay, so then I start to breathe a little more and I start to feel underneath. And underneath that iron plate, I feel starts to open up now. And there is it's actually painful. I feel every day I go to work, he rejects me. The way he looks, the decisions he makes, he doesn't see how wonderful I am, how amazing I am, and how loving. He doesn't have any eyes for that. He just thinks of how much profit we produce. Asshole. Oh, wait. Okay, back. Yeah, so there is a rejection there. And I feel into the rejection, and I breathe into it, and then I realize I start to feel small, and I start to feel actually how I felt when my father wasn't home much, but when he was home, he never had time, and he always talked about his problems and his work, and he never really was there for me. So I start to feel young, and I feel rejected, I feel alone, not supported, and not loved. Right? I feel that. And then I notice, oh, I feel identified with that little boy. I feel that's me. Actually, interesting. And actually that my boss is my father. Triggers the boy in me. And I breathe in that. And as I see that I'm identified with this little boy and I feel his pain, I start to, like yesterday with the superego, I start to get a little distant from, hey, wait a minute. That's that boy and his pain, and it's really painful. It's not just in my mind. It is really painful. I feel it here. And I start to get a little space. What kind of space is that? It feels like a very light space, spacious. Feel there's something is relaxing, the iron is gone, and I don't feel young anymore, but now I actually don't know where I am. I don't feel my body much anymore. Like, what am I now? And like, you just continue, like you just continue and see where the inquiry brings you. Yeah. Okay. And then you have 5 minutes for the silent witnesses to only ask you gentle questions. No direction, no therapy. Just from a gentle presence, ask them. What is it that you feel when you talked about your boss? How did that iron feel? How big was it? You don't have to be knowledgeable. You don't have to bring all your insights there. You just want to be human and ask them questions that help them to explore further. Okay? And then we rotate. Questions? 15 and 5, so altogether an hour. No? Find two people that you want to explore with, and then we'll be back here in little more than an hour. Thank you.